I'll call you. Everybody still good? Good? So what we're going to do now is we're going to move into the Word. Of course, this is not the circumstances that we wanted to have church. However, with a little improvisation and a little planning and a little bit of conversation and prayer, we have come to this point. So what we're going to do now is we're going to dig into God's Word like we would in a regular church service. Because we're still having church out here and we're still worshiping the Lord. So I'm going to ask if you could change, whether that be on your phone or whether it be in your personal Bible, if you brought either of those, if you could open or scroll with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to read a story that many of us are probably familiar with, or maybe we're aware of. We've read it, we've maybe heard it. But today we're going to dig into it and try to pull something from it that maybe we haven't pulled, or something that God has given to me, because I believe that we are here for a reason and we are here to honor our Lord. So throughout the scripture, rain was often a sign of God's blessing and what is about to come. Because with rain, things can grow. So I'm hoping, praying, and believing that God may be speaking to His people using all of these days of rain for what is about to come in this nation. I am hoping and praying for the move of God in our nation and in our communities and throughout our world like maybe we haven't seen before. Because it's sad to think that a global pandemic takes so much away, but it also reminds us so much of what we are truly thankful for. It causes us to slow down. It causes us to spend time at home. And it causes us to take advantage of what is truly necessary, which is our friends and our family and the very essentials for survival. And maybe God is using this time not to orchestrate it personally, but like I always say, what the enemy uses to try and divide, what our enemy uses for division, our God is one who can take those things and turn division into multiplication. And we serve a God who is still good, who is still in control, and we believe it. And we're going to cling to it. And we're going to hope that what He does in this season will truly change our world. So if you have your Bible, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 23. Starting in verse 23, and we're going to read through verse 27. And I'll give you just a second. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And this is what the Bible says. And when He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But He was asleep. And they went and woke Him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And He said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then He rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" What I want to do is I want to take two things from this text that we find the disciples doing, that if we are not careful in a time of crisis or in a time of hardship, that we may do the same thing and ultimately distracting us, discouraging us, or feeling as if things are going to destroy us. And I know that we are in the midst of a global pandemic that has wreaked havoc on the world. But I'm not, you know, going to be ignorant to the fact that just because of that being such a big wave right now in our world, it doesn't mean that you don't struggle with other waves that you were facing, other life circumstances that you were going through on top of this incredible wave. And what I want to do is I want to take this particular story, and I want the boat to represent your life. And I want the waves to represent the very things that come into your life. Circumstances, relationship issues, financial problems, bankruptcy, divorce, kids living in rebellion. And then on top of it, we throw a big one, a pandemic that is wreaking havoc across our land. And I want you to know two things that the disciples do in the face of the waves. that if we do as well, we will not be able to continue living by faith, walking by faith. We will instead walk by sight, paying attention to how big the waves are and what they could do. So I want to point out two things before we get into what the disciples did. First of all, I want you to know that the Bible says that the boat was being swamped by the waves, plural. Not just one big wave. Many of us can testify that our life has been a life full of waves, wave after wave after wave. It has been one thing after another, after another, after another. It isn't just one big wave. Now, this global pandemic is one pretty big wave. But even as you come here and as you park here and as you go through this pandemic and as you go through the next few weeks of more isolation and as you go through those things, it's not that you just are removed fully from all of the other waves that you have had in your life, all of the other unfortunate circumstances that come against you. It's not that you are just removed from all other things, because guess what? They were there before the coronavirus and they will probably be there still after the coronavirus. So I'm not ignorant to the fact that we all go through life with wave after wave coming our way, coming against us. So first, I want you to know that it says that they were swamped by the waves, plural. Secondly, I want you to know that Jesus asked them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" The language here that is written and that we read, it just says little faith. Jesus was not questioning that they had no faith. He was not saying that they had zero faith. He was just simply stating that they had little faith. It was a little bit ineffective. It was a little bit discouraged. And it was not completely, but almost destroyed at this point. So what I want us to do is I want us to know that we may go through a season of wave after wave after wave, and then it'd be something new and then something else. But just know that it is not going to destroy us completely if we don't allow it to. Just know that we have a God who is still in the boat, and that's what we're going to get to here in just a second. So first of all, it wasn't just one big wave, it was multiple waves. And secondly, Jesus asked them why their faith was so little. It was not absent. Now, I want to point out two things that happen in the text. Two things that if we're not careful, we will allow happen in our lives. And we will cry out the same way. And we will not have the desire, or we will not have the faith to continue on. The first thing is that the disciples had forgotten. The disciples had forgotten. If you read prior to this text, you see Jesus perform many miracles. If you read just before this storm, just before they get into the boat, it's just after the great Sermon on the Mount. And after the Sermon on the Mount is preached, Jesus comes down. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then Jesus performs miracle after miracle after miracle by healing person after person after person after person, casting out demon after demon after demon. And he has performed many miracles right in front of these disciples that they witnessed with their own eyes. And they got to see Jesus do mighty things. Yet, just a little while later, they get into a boat to go to the other side, and they are fearful. They had forgotten just what Jesus had done. Oftentimes, like, we forget all the good things that the Lord has done because something new comes before us. Something frightening comes before us. And what I want you to do is I want you to leave here by remembering the goodness of God. I want you to remember the good things that the Lord has done for you. Let's not be arrogant enough to think that we are here because of the brilliance of ourselves. Let us remember that we are here for a reason, and that reason is to glorify the Lord. But the reason we are still here, and the reason that we're still doing what we're able to do, the reason that we're at the Starlight Drive-In is not because of the brilliance of Pleasant Hill Christian Church or anybody. It is simply by the goodness of the Lord that has happened season after season after season. I am not here because of my own accomplishments, brilliance. There is an absence of that. I am here standing before you today and with you because of the faithfulness of my God, time after time after time, season after season, valley after valley. I can remember the things that the Lord has done for me. Therefore, if we remember, we will be able to stand in the face of waves that may be new, that may be big, that may be scary, and continue to push forward. My prayer is that you will be someone that does not forget. Do not forget the good things that God has done for you. You are not abandoned. You are not forsaken. He has not turned his back on you. You are here because of him. Let us not forget. It's as if the Israelites walking out of Egypt after 430 years of captivity, and they come to the sea, and they're probably frightened at that point, but God says, hang on, I'll take care of that. He splits the sea wide open so that they cross through on dry ground. Yet, shortly after that, they had forgotten. And then the Lord provided for them daily bread, water, guidance. And it was like day after day, week after week, month after month, or year after year, generation after generation, they forgot all that God had done. Please do not forget all that God has done for you. Please do not forget the mountains that God has moved for you. Please do not forget the valley lows that God has walked through with you. Please do not forget the seasons of life that you saw no way out and he made a way. Please do not forget the brokenness that you thought was beyond repair that you're able to put a smile on your face again today. And do not forget that all of us who were no longer, or all of us who were never worthy of his love, his mercy, and his grace because we could not live up to his standard, he came down to us because we could not reach him. And he came down to us to offer us new life, eternal life, glorified in his son's righteousness because of his payment on the cross for us. We were bought with a price. Do not forget. Because I would like to think that if I had seen the things that they had seen prior to this boat ride, that I would have been able to stand in the face of those waves and continue forward. However, we are just like they are. We forget. We become overwhelmed with what's coming next. We become overwhelmed with what's new. We can allow news reports, Facebook posts, rumors. We can allow negativity or new circumstances to push us down even more. My prayer is that you will not forget that God is still with you and for you. I hope that you do not forget that he is still good. I pray that you do not forget that he is still faithful. The same God will not be shaken by anything that this world comes into contact with, but he will remain faithful. The second thing that these disciples do, as they're being swamped by the waves and as they forget, is that they lose their focus. They lose their focus. They begin to focus on the waves that are coming against them. They had just witnessed miracle after miracle, person after person being healed. They had just witnessed demons being cast out and people being delivered. They had just witnessed things that I would long to witness for and hope and pray to witness in the existence of my life. Yet here they are presented with new waves. And it was waves, plural, meaning it was one after another that had left them feeling swamped and destroyed and defeated completely. And they change their focus because they start to look at the waves that are coming against them rather than the one that has always been with them. And if we aren't careful, we will forget, but then we will focus on the very wrong thing. And let me go deeper than that. Because if you look at it, you actually see that they aren't just so much focused on the waves coming, but they're focused on the outcome or the result that these waves could bring. Just like we are. When it comes to a rumor about the shop being shut down, immediately we go to think about all of the things that that means. We go to think about the bills that we won't be able to pay without anything happening yet. We immediately become overwhelmed by the ways that we start to picture and think on and even dwell in what could be the result of this very wave here. We hear a rumor that the shop's going down, so we immediately panic and wonder how we're going to pay the bills, how we're going to feed the kids. We have one argument in a marriage, and immediately we begin to panic. And we dwell on the result that could come. And are they going to leave? Are they going to abandon? Are we done? There's one act from a child, and we think they're going down the road of rebellion. Could have been one thing, or just a couple of weeks or months of figuring life out, that we immediately begin to dwell on what this wave could result in and the pain that it could bring and the disappointment that could come. And we dwell on the result, and the result sometimes never happens. But we're a people that focus on the waves and the results that may come. The doctor wants to take more tests. So immediately we begin to panic and picture what it's going to look like. Or we live in a time that many imagine that everyone's just infected. We live in a time that we can't even walk outside the house without looking at people a little bit differently. Because we assume the result is we're going to get it, and it's going to get us. So we are a people that focus not just on the waves, but the results of the waves. And I believe that the Lord has given me this particular word because there may be one, there may be a few, or there may be many here that has forgotten what God has done. And maybe there's one or a few, or maybe even many people here that have been focused on the waves of life and worried about the results of those waves. All the while doing so, you forget that rescue is one call away. I am here to declare to you with a cheerful heart and joy inside of my soul that we have a rescue one call away. Doesn't matter what waves come your way. It doesn't matter what brokenness is heading your way. It doesn't matter what pain you go through right now or what hardships you're doing and enduring right now. It doesn't matter what waves you are weathering, and all pun intended on that. But what I want you to know is why we're here today is so that you can know with confidence that there is rescue just one call away. So let's go back to the story. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8, in which the disciples are swamped by the waves. And they're being swamped, and wave after wave comes. And it looks like just for a second, they turn themselves back to the one they should have been relying on all along. And the reason I know they were worried about the outcome and the result of the waves is because of their words. Look at what they say. They say, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing. We're about to die. These waves are going to take us out completely." So they turn to Jesus, and he rises up and he tells the storm, "Peace, be still." And there's a great calmness that takes place. There's a great peace that comes over the sea and in the boat. And they begin to marvel, what kind of man is this? So the thing that I came to understand is that we're going to be one of two type of people. We're going to be a person that God is always going to be asking us why we're so afraid and why we have such little faith. Or we're going to be a people that has great amount of faith. And we're going to constantly marvel about the things that God does. The choice is up to you. You can walk, you can drive on out of here and keep going how you are, and maybe you are of great faith. But maybe you're one that is fearful and often afraid and often concerned and often driven by worry. And I would want you to know that there is one call away from rescue coming. And his name is Jesus, and Jesus only. But back to the story, the disciples turn to him and they say, "Save us, Lord. We are perishing. We are dying. We need you to save us." And it's kind of as if the words of Paul written in Philippians come to life. Paul says to be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So it's as if for just a second, those who are anxious about everything, in just a second, they turned themselves and they made their request to be known. And the Bible says that he rose, he rebuked the storm, and there was a great stillness, a great calmness, a great peace. And the peace of God literally saved their lives and calmed the sea. And they marveled. And it's the same peace that will calm you, the same peace that will root you in his love, his mercy, and his grace, and his goodness. It's the same peace of God which surpasses our understanding that will bring peace to us in times of pain, in times of trial, in times of tribulation. It's as if they literally lived out the words of Paul. They made their request be known. And because they did so, because rescue is just one request away, peace came over all of them. And I want you all here to know this, whether I can see you or I can't, whether you can see me or you can't, I want you to know that peace is one call away. I want you to know that the goodness of the Lord is one request away. The waves didn't take, or the waves took place until Jesus rose up. When Jesus rose up, there was a great calmness. So I'd like to think that for a while, as these disciples were probably dwelling on what Jesus had done by healing all the people, all of a sudden the waves start to come. Plural. One after another. And I would like to think that each wave that came pushed their joy just a little bit further down. I would like to think, and probably very possible, that with each wave that came, their peace was pushed down a little bit more. I would say that with each wave that came, their hope, their peace, their joy, their love, their life, and even their faith was pushed down, because Jesus said, "Why are you of such little faith?" Meaning it may have been great before you got on the boat, but just a little bit of waves and just a little bit of circumstance, their peace, their faith, their hope, their joy was all pushed down. And it says that they were being swamped by the waves. And I would like to think that they were pushed down more and more and more. Just swamped. Overwhelmed. Defeated. Feeling destroyed. Like there's no hope, there's no way out, it's never going to be better, it's coming to an end, this is how it's always going to be. And I believe God has called us to this place because someone or all of us need to know that when we feel swamped, rescue is just one request away. And when they called to Jesus, it says that he rose, and then he rebuked, and then there was peace. If you're here today, regardless of what wave it is, however many waves you're facing right now in this moment, whether it be coronavirus, your marriage, your kids, your provision for your family, your health, your spiritual battles, your personal issues, if you feel swamped today, or if you feel yourself swamped tomorrow, I want you to know that peace is one request away. Rescue is one call away. These disciples knew that rescue was just one request away, and then it says that Jesus rose. And I want today be the day as the rain starts to come down. May today be the day that we make a decision and a declaration that today is going to be the day in which things begin to rise back up. We may feel swamped, we may feel defeated, we may feel crushed, we may feel overwhelmed, but I'm telling you, one request away from things starting to rise back up. Jesus rose and based off their request and based because of their call out. And when he rose, there was great peace. And maybe today for you, it has been circumstance after circumstance, brokenness after brokenness, bad thing after bad thing, bad news after bad news. And here you are feeling swamped. Can we today make a decision to call upon the name that can bring the peace? Can we today make a decision to remember all that he has done? Paul said, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving means that you are remembering all that he has done for you. May today be the day that we remember. May today be the day that we focus ourselves completely on Jesus, our King. And what will happen is things will begin to rise up. Our joy will begin to rise up. Our peace will begin to rise up. Our hope will begin to rise up. The purpose that God has given us that may have been pierced or pushed down because of the ways that we have seen, it will begin to rise up to where we will see a calmness and we will experience the peace of God because these disciples were longing for it. They were longing for it. Not sure that it would come, but it came. And it came by the mouth and by the word of one great name. One name did they cry out to. One name did they make their request known to. One name who was riding in their boat. One name performed miracle after miracle. One great name. What I'm going to ask for us to do today is if you're someone here that wants to see things begin to rise back up, if you are someone here that feels swamped in any area of your life, not only are we making a decision, but I want us to join together and make a declaration. I want us to do it out loud. I'm going to ask for just a second. In a second, if you could just crack your window enough so that we can join together out loud. What we're going to do is we're just going to declare out loud with our neighbors one great name so that the devil can hear it and tremble. We're going to do it so that all the demons that have come and the devil has come wave after wave after us, we're going to call out this great name to remind him that here in Potosi, Washington County, our homes, our families, our churches are under one great name. I don't care your denomination. I don't care if you're part of our church or here just to visit. We're going to declare one great name together out loud so that the devil can hear it, so our neighbors can hear it, so this community can hear it. And we're going to do it just like they did. And I'm going to ask you on the count of three here in just a second, if you are feeling swamped and if you're wanting to see things rise back up, that you join us in declaring that you're remembering the one that is with you in your boat. So when the next wave comes out of nowhere and it comes upon you, you're not going to be focused on the waves or the results. You're going to be calling upon the one that provides rescue, the one that has redeemed you, the one that has restored you, the one that has repaired you, the one that has reconciled you, and the one that has saved you. So here we are together, all people across this drive-in. If you are one that is ready to see things rise back up, not just in your life, but the lives of those around you, and to see the church of God rise back up, let us declare on the count of three that one great name. One, two, three. Jesus! He is our hope. And today, we're going to sing one more song as we get ready to leave. How great is our God? We're going to be reminded of how great He is as we sing this together. I ask you to sing it with us, to join us in song. And if you're here today and you feel swamped, call out to Him. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I ask you to cry out to Him. Call out to Him. Seek Him and His forgiveness so that He will forgive you, save you, redeem you, and rise things back up to life in you. Let us sing one more time together, and then we'll close in prayer, and then we'll be on our way.